En miskien moet ons begin om net seker te maak almal het voorbereid gekom. Ek weet ek en Daniel het 'n speel. Daniel, kan net jou speel sien? Daniel. Daniel het seker gemaak hy sien nie baie nie. Ek het 'n interessante speel. Ek het hom nie onthou nie. Ek het hom gevra en vergeet op die tafel. Toe gelukkig bring my dogter hom vir my. Dis 'n interessante speel wat ek en Daniel het twee kante. Maar wat nogal erg van hom is sy een kant vergroot die beeld twee keer so groot soos die ander kant. Ek het nog nooit so 'n speel gesien nie. Ek weet nie of julle al so 'n speel gesien het nie. Jy's dubbel so groot aan die een kant as aan die ander kant. In elk geval, maar ek het vir die jonger generasie ook 'n oplossing. Blykbaar kan jy jou telefoon vat en hom op selfie stel. So kry so lank uit jy dit telefoon, ons gaan niemand bel nie en moet ook jou oproep antwoord nie. Maar dan moet jy jou telefoon uitkry indien jy nie 'n spieël by het nie. En die ouens by die huis ook. Reinhard wou blykbaar so 'n lang hangspieël van die huis af saambring want hy wou homself heel sien. Maar later by die spieël, wat ek net onthou as ek vir my spieël soek, ek het hom hier neergesit. Ons sal die Here vra en Jolet, sjog hierdie lied wat ons gesing het. Ek weet net dat die Here wil hê want dit is die kern van vanoggend. So ek wil sommer net weer vir julle dankie sê en miskien weet baie van ons ouens in ons gemeente dit nie. Maar die moeite wat julle doen om die Here te hoor, wat wil hy hê, moet in lofprysing en aanbidding gebeur. En hoe ons ouens wat vir lofprysing en aanbidding verantwoordelikheid vat, net tyd by die Here spandeer om te sê met watter liedere wil jy hê moet ons sing? Wat moet die volgorde daarvan wees? En vir my net elke slag net so bemoedigend as ek sien dat dit wat die Here vir julle gewys het, net sny met die woord wat ek nog eers geweet het toe julle die songs uitgestuur het nie. En hoe dit net by mekaar kom en by mekaar pas. So dankie vir dit, want Lord, I look to you. Kan ons seker maar sê is die kern van vanoggend se woord. En I want to be Christ-like and not like myself. En dis hoekom ons die speel saamgebring het. En die vraag is, wat sien ek as ek en jy, wat hou ons voor onsself op? En Mirinda wou baie graag gehad het, ek moes julle uitvang. Maar ek dink toe nee, ek gaan genadig wees, want ek is nie uitgevang nie. Ek het dit gelees voor iemand my kon uitvang, so ek gaan julle ook waarsku voor julle uitgevang word met die manier hoe ons God sien. En so ag vir julle wat dalk nou vanoggend nie is iemand wat nie is, so waarmee ons besig is is om die Here te vra om ons te help om nie met hom te relate op 'n manier wat hy nooit bedoel het nie. En dis eintlik waarmee ons besig is, and it's not to condemn us. Ek sien vanoggend net hierdie prentjie van hoe die vyand en die lewe en religions ons toespin soos 'n spinnekop en ons in hierdie web vassit. And we think this is what God meant for us, but it was never what he meant for us. So ek het 'n boek gelees wat ek dink seker van die grootste impakke op my lewe gehad het, and I'm just sharing some of that experiences with us as a congregation and hope that it will help you too. So I'm obviously not going to go through all of it again, but if you want to have a look at it, maybe something touches your heart this morning. So we've started on the 1st of August with this series, and it is our posture. Ek kan nog nooit Afrikaanse woord kry nie, maar ons postuur, wat nou mooi anglisisme is, ons postuur teenoor God. How do we approach God? Is it low down? Is it with open hands? Is it, in what way is it, do we approach him through our works, through our service to his kingdom? Do we approach him through our obedience? Do we approach him to receive from him? En ons het in die heel begin op 1 Augustus gesê, there's two paradises and we find ourselves in between. Eden and the New Jerusalem. And in both of them, we find the truth about God, how he wants to relate with us. And it says, God wants to be with and amongst these people. En daarna het ons op verskillende maniere gaan kyk na hoe ons baie keer met goeie bedoelings tot God relate. And we've explored how a life under God looks like, what it looks like. and maybe just the essence of a life under God is, if we appease the gods, they will bless us. And sometimes Christians find themselves in this posture towards God, and God never meant it for us. This is pagan religion. And sometimes we don't see we're busy with pagan religion. Pagan religion, reg oor die wêreld sê, African religion, Roman religion, almal van hulle sê, ons moet die gode gelukkig hou, gaan ons oes te groot wees. And if you think you struggle, and maybe we all struggle with it, I can guarantee you, we can look at all the four postures that we're talking about Sunday after Sunday, and you will find yourself in one of them from time to time relating to God. And it's not that it's completely untrue, but it's got a mixture in of pagan rituals and biblical morality. And that's how we get confused. And obviously the word teaches obedience. But if we make obedience the main thing, we will not be free in God's presence, because we always fail him in obedience. So obedience is not the main thing of Christianity. Gehoorsaamheid is nie. So we've looked at the posture under God. We've looked at a posture over God. And dit klink miskien soos 'n ateïs, but in affluent and educated societies, a posture over God in Christianity is much more present than we think. And what it actually says is, so ons het ek dink laas week daaroor gepraat, is dat dit het maar saam met die wetenskap wat ontwikkel het en superstition van God en his sy onvoorspelbare wil in hierdie wêreld, en dan sit 'n storm, en dan sit 'n swak oes, en dan sit prosper, en alles gebeur volgens hierdie superstition van the gods, is in control of everything. Toe kom ons in, ek weet nie wanneer, hierdie 1600s, 1700s, met wetenskap, en alles word verduidelik, daar is eintlik 'n rede agter als, ons het dit net nooit verstaan nie. So it became laws and principles, and this universe and this cosmos is governed by laws and principles. En voor ons kom kry, dan sien ons hoe dit in ons Christianity insluip. If I apply this principle in my life, it will work out well. If I apply this principle, it will be good. En mense wat in beheer is, hou daarvan, because it gives them a sense of control. In education and finances, gives us that illusion. We are in control. But we are not. COVID is een van die beste voorbeelde wat vir ons sê, not the rich, neither the poor, no one is in control. We don't know what happens tomorrow. And because of the fear of uncertainty, we are looking in ways to relate to God that we can find control and certainty in this life. This is what we are trying with all the wrong postures. So a life over God, it puts God aside. He was the creator. He created it according to certain laws and principles. If I find out how it works and I apply them in my life, I will be prosperous and things will go well. So that's what a life over God is about. So today, we are looking at a life from God. A lewe van God. Receiving from God. En miskien behalwe vir ons, en ek het my eie draaie gestap in dit en deur mekaar met dit en gewonder hoe dit werk en hoe pas dit en waar vind ek dit in die woord, en miskien om net van die begin af te sê, die extreme vorm from a life from God is the prosperity teachings. So God wants us wealth and health, and that's it. If you're not that, you don't understand God, you don't serve him well, you don't know how he works, and you've got to be rich and you've got to be healthy. This is the Christian God. Ons sal vanoggend op dit uitbrei. En so toe ek begin lees oor 'n lewe van God af, het ek aanvanklik gedink, nou man, I'm not struggling with this. And the more I read, the more I saw. Oof. I think God is speaking to me personally. So, ek gaan nou by die woord begin wat ek voorberei het. Dit was nou net so om vir almal daarom 'n bietjie agtergrond te gee. The word talks a lot about to open the eyes of our hearts, open the eyes of our understanding, So to see what's happening in these postures, we need the Spirit to work. It will not be explained. Me and you will miss explanation. It can only be done by the Spirit of God to really help you to see whether this is part of your life or not. And it's not to condemn you, it's to free you. Want al hierdie postures wat God nie bedoel het nie, they end up disappointing, empty, and sometimes without God. Because God didn't intend for us to relate in that way with Him. So, vir oggend, we are looking at a life from God, a lewe van God. Okay. Nou, die mense natuur is seker sy grootste vyand om dit reg te kan onderskei. Want wat is ons natuur? Ons natuur is maar baie selfsugtig. Doesn't matter how holy and how long we're coming with God. We really struggle with this. That's our nature to want. That's our nature. It's net wie ons is. So die toets wat ek en Melinda in die week oor gepraat het. So blykbaar die professor is Scott McKnight. Jy kan op die internet gaan soek as jy wil. En ek dink die toets gaan jou nou nie goed dien nie, want ek gaan nou vanoggend vir jou die kruks van die toets verduidelik. So what he does is he's got but so what the test does is that he's teaching the Jesus class for first year students. And what he does the first day they come in is he's giving them a test where they would, by multiple choice questions, they will describe the character and who Jesus is. Okay, so he gives that to the pupils and they would fill it in. Is hy an extrovert of is hy an introvert? Is hy goed met woorde of, jy weet, in allerhande eienskappe? Is hy die essence van 'n party of is hy nie, jy weet. My woorde is nou min vir oggend om al die vrae wat ek nou daar gelees het. In hierdie situasie, Jesus sal so reageer en dan gee hy vir jou 5 opsies. And you've got to choose. How will Jesus act in this situation? Okay, so then they fill in the test, hulle handig het in, and then at a later stage, he comes and they obviously don't know what he's doing. So he will give them another test. And that is to determine their own personality and values and preferences. So dan vul elkeen hierdie met ander vrae, but it's the same questionnaire. And they will fill in themselves. Okay, so this is Ruben likes this and this and this. Debbie will probably answer it better than Ruben, but so just filling it in. En baie van ons het almal het self so 'n questionnaire gedoen, jy weet, wat is jou voorkeure as jy nou vir 'n loopbaan en whatever. So what's the trick here? What's happening? What is he busy with? What does he want to teach them? So, time and time again, those two questionnaires describes the same person. And although the Bible tells Christians to become more like Jesus, what is happening many times, Jesus becomes more and more like us. That's why you need the mirror to keep it up before you and ask, who do you become like? Who's on the other side that you are growing towards? Is it you? Or is it Christ? Who is held up on the other side? This test has been done for many years. Many, many years. In the church, not outside. In the church. And the result is, unfortunately, exactly what Kristen said. They fill in the two questionnaires exactly the same. Describe Jesus exactly as their personality. So I'm just thinking in discussions about with my friend Niels about the truth of the word and what is it that we should apply to our lives. And as ek en Niels verskil, dan is daar dalk 'n goeie kans. Dis omdat ek en hy as twee persone verskil. And we are trying to make Jesus. Me like me and him like him. And we won't find one another on that. Because Jesus is neither. Not me, not neither him. And I just opened my eyes to say, there's another test that they developed, but this is in the psychology circles, and some of you might know it. They take a piece of paper, and what they've done is they've just put a splash of ink on it. And they praat van die ink blot or something test. So wat hulle doen is, hulle vat die papier, en hulle splash hom met ink, en hulle hou hom voor Kristen en sê, Kristen, wat sien jy? And she would see, by some miracle, she would see an image. And would give it to Reinhard. Reinhard would look at it, he would see something completely different. Looking at the same thing. Something of the same truth there. There's nothing there, but I see something. Because this is what I like and what my values. So Voltaire, een of ander Franse philosopher, het blykbaar 300 jaar terug gesê, if God has made us in his image, we have returned him the favor. So what society is struggling with today is we are making God in our own image. Why do we think we find so many Christian gods all over the world? It's just an expression of different churches and different. There's a lot of it, truth in that. Don't leave, it's getting better. So what we do is we take our personality and our values and our preferences and we apply it to the deity, our God. So, net terug by die postures wat ons teenoor God het, 'n lewe onder God, in die kern daarvan vind ons gods that must be appeased. A life over God, its principles and values. What do we find at the core of a life from God? Self. Self is at it. So net miskien 'n bietjie agtergrond, want ek dink soos wat die Here met myself deur dit gewerk het, I needed to see it. I needed to help me to open my eyes. So, ietsie waarby ek net gaan stilstaan, before we go to the word, is that maybe Rian, you can play us that song, please. So, ek het in 1984 my huis verlaat, koshuis toe, en hier was een van die songs wat ek in die koshuis. Ek weet nie, hierdie songs was hier by my in die huis gewees, maar toe dink ek moet nou hierdie song speel vir oggend, want hierdie song, en ek het vir Jan gevra, speel hom, dat ons die woorde kan sien. Nou wat hierdie song sing, is exactly what we are struggling with at the moment. Die hele wêreld was nog nooit so uitgedaag met wat hierdie vrou sing nie. Hierdie tyd toe sy hierdie lied geskryf het, het sy daar nog klere gedra. Later in haar karier het haar klere al minder geraak. Wie onthou die song? Kan julle sien daar? Madonna, Material Girl. So lees die woorde soos as dit sing. Ons moet net twee goed synkroniseer vir oggend, Marian sê hy gaan dit reg kry. Dankie Rian. Jy het well done. Rian speel het van een foon en een rekenaarskerm. Sit gou die woorde weer op. He sê, good. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. That's right. Cause the boy with a cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. Why is he Mr. Right? Because we are living in a material world and I am a material girl. Now this is obviously completely un-Christian. But I want us to allow the Spirit to help us see how much this could be true of me and your life and the way we relate to God. Dankie Rian vir jou moeite. Die weste en die westerse wêreld is nie meer vasgevang in superstition nie. But we've left science as well. Where are we? We are in a material world. The West is driven by consumerism. What was born after the Industrial Revolution? Dankie. Wat is gebore na die industriële revolusie? Kom ons sê, wat het die industriële revolusie veroorsaak? Massas produkte wêreldwyd. What was the answer? Advertising. We've got to get rid of everything now. We have to create a need. Ek lees in New York, I don't know how it's possible, but listen to this. In New York, they reckon 3,500 advertisements before one person in 24 hours. 3,500 teenwoordighede van creating a need for a product in New York. I don't know what it is where we are. Ons het 'n ekonomie wêreldwyd gebou van verbruik. So, to many in the world, Jesus is a divine butler and a cosmic therapist. What do they do? What does a divine butler and a cosmic therapist do? He helps me to get through my struggles and provide in my needs. My eie geluk. Wat is die hartseer in die kerk wat navorsing wys op die oomblik? Why are teenagers especially finding themselves here and relating to God in this way? More than adults, but the adults is not behind. And why? Because the what is navorsing? The research shows the next truth. The teenagers are here because this is a worldview that the parents is holding. God is helping me through my troubles and providing in my needs. This is the God of the material world. Some describes him as a holy vending machine. Is Afrikaanse woord vir 'n vending machine. Daai een waar jy die geld ingooi, knoppe druk en dan kom maar iets uit. Soos ek net gesê het, die ekstreme sy van hierdie tipe evangelie, van hierdie tipe Christianity, is the prosperity gospel, or what other names is there for it, name it and claim it, the word faith movement, the health and wealth gospel. Listen to this. Time magazine asked the next question, sorry if I'm going to offend you. Time magazine asked the next question to Joyce Myers. For those of you who don't know who she is, having a TV program preaching all over the world through that. And they asked the next to her, does God want you to be rich? Her answer, who would want to get in on something where you are miserable, poor, and broke? And you just have to munch through life until you get to heaven. I believe God wants to give us good things. This is her answer of the gospel that she believes in. And the question now is this the God she describes because this is what she wants? Back to the test. Are we describing a gospel because this is what we actually want? This is what the test shows, what we do often, as we describe a God that will meet our personal needs. Sjoe, hierdie het my regtig uitgedaag. Die grootste aantrekkingskrag van hierdie tipe gospel is, me and you do not have to change. It's the biggest attraction to this gospel, is that we do not need to change. Because God supplies in all our needs. Whatever I desire, whatever is my preference, it's just formed by the consumer culture that we find ourselves in, and we draw that into our faith, and it becomes part of our gospel. And we are just getting divine help to get all our desires and our problems removed. So, ek wil jou aanmoedig, en as jy dink ons huis is vry hiervan, we're not. What is advertising creating in your home and in your own heart? What does it create? I am never satisfied. Never. And if, not for long. Until they show something again that I think I need. So one of the things we struggle with, one of the things Leah struggle with, is that we are living in a narcissistic world. Everything is about me and me. And what has value in our life? If it has value to me, it has value. Otherwise, if it's serving me, if it's helping me, it's got value. If it doesn't do that, it's got no value. En ongelukkig is hierdie van iets wat waarde het, nie net waar vir een of ander iets wat ek by die garage seil of Melinda het iets gaan aflaai by oom Kaal en hy het dit op die veiling verkoop vir R50 en sy het 25, nee, los die veiling uit. Dit het nie meer value vir Melinda gehad, nee. And she took it to the, but where has this gone in our life? This is true. For friendships, this is true for marriages, this is true even for the church group I belong to. If they don't have value for me, I'm leaving it. If the cell group I'm going to doesn't have value for me, I'm leaving the cell group and search for another one. In besighede, hoor ek ons altyd van mense praat as 'n hulpbron. As a resource. People has been reduced to the same status as water or soil. That's why we are living, I don't know if you know, there's never been in the history of the earth more slavery than what we have at the moment worldwide. Because people, it's just of no value. And what happens is that we start to relate with God in the same way. Wat is nuttig in Engels? Useful. So is God useful to me? And what do we see many times happen? I've said to Melinda, and may this be not true of any of one of us. I'm not that long in church and in Christianity. Started out in 2003, and I've seen only in this short space of time, it's, I don't know how many years is that, 17 or what, no, 18 years, I see people starting out with a lot of passion and a lot of commitment to the gospel. I don't know why, but after 10 years and 12 years and 15 years, I see people just disappearing. And I'm wondering today if this is one of the reasons it has came up short of being useful for them in life. And they leave this faith because it's not useful for me and my family. It is not delivering what I was hoping to see. God se waarde word gemeet aan hoe nuttig hy vir my is. God gee en ons ontvang. And I just want to put just a switch on Joyce Meyer's statement. Maybe it's Miranda. Now Miranda's now my wife, so let's go to Crystal is coming to me and she's crying. She says, I've served God for so long. I've brought my daughter to church. I've done everything. Why is it not helping me? She's addicted and she's in struggles. So even in that way, we can relate to God that He's only valuable and useful because I want to build a beautiful family. He becomes a tool to have a beautiful family. I'm not in a relationship for Him. This is where God wants us, that we want intimacy and be with Him, in partnership with Him. Doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. This is the real gospel that Paul taught and lived. Doesn't matter the circumstances outside. I want Jesus. I will live and die to have Jesus. That's it. So whether it's the prosperity gospel or it's some other twitch that looks more religious, but God can be a tool for me and you as well, even if we don't want wealth and health. We use Him for other things, and I'll try and mention a few of them. 1 Korintiërs 15. Ek lees daar in my Bybel onder aan die bladsy vanaf vers 32 af. Die vraag is, leef ons met 'n attitude, laat ons fees vier en dronk word, want môre sterf ons. Moenie toelaat dat mense wat sulke dinge sê, julle vir die gek hou nie. Want slegste geselskap bederf goeie gewoontes. En ek weet, daar is seker min van ons wat sê, laat ons fees vier en dronk word, want môre sterf ons. But the question is, why are you getting up in the morning? What is influencing your attitude and your motives in life? Ek vanoggend weer saam bid en hoor dink, toe vra die Here vir my volgende vraag. En ek wil hê, jy moet ook met die vraag vir jouself vra. Hoeveel keer verlaat jy jou huis vir iemand anders as vir jou en jou gesin? Hoeveel keer in 'n week verlaat jy jou huis for someone else and not for yourself and your family? And I can even in my work leave home to earn an income for the sake of my family. I'm going to work just to serve my family. So probeer om 1 Korintiërs 15 te lees en te vra, Here, hoe praat dit met my? Laat ons fees vier dronk word, want môre sterf ons. Moenie toelaat dat die consumer mentaliteit van hierdie tyd waarin ons leef, ons verder vir die gek hou en te dink dat ons 'n material mense en material girl is nie. Slegte geselskap bederf goeie gewoontes. If you allow this culture to influence you, it will. You will end up living a Christianity that is about you and your family. That's not the Christianity of the word of God. Kom tot julle sinne en moenie langer sondig nie. Tot julle beskerming moet ek vir julle sê dat party van julle heeltemal tekort skiet wat die kennis van God betref. Paulus in sy tyd al gesukkel met die kerk. So, ietsie wat ons in al die dele van die reeks oor gepraat het, is that life is uncertain, it has pain and suffering. And our our approach to that is to find ways to make the uncertainty less, the pain less, and to find a more comfortable journey as we go through life. And that is, daarom is daar baie maniere hoe ons tot God relate om dit te probeer regkry. He never meant that. So hierdie is ook 'n manier hoe ons dit kan doen. Ja, en toe ek die navorsing en die ouens wat lank hieroor dink gelees het, I must say, it spoke to me. I see it in our society. So, the question this morning that me and you can ask is, how does God and His church, ek vra vir oggend vir Mirinda, excuse, ek onderbreek haar sin, ek vra vir oggend vir Mirinda, wat is die kernwoord van amusement? Muse, ja, ek probeer om te, wat beteken, my taalkundige is die goed, jy hoor, so, amusement, wat, want, die lewe waarmee die weste besig is op die oomblik, and the consumer world busy is to have nice things, and nice experiences. Nice things isn't doing it really anymore, it doesn't cut it anymore. We now want an experience, whether it's rolling in the snow, or, nou, ek spot nou 'n bietjie, maar, just look at our society. Look at Facebook. I can't look at Instagram, but I presume it's the same. Experience, experience, experience. Experiences. Why is this so attractive? There was a doctor, Dr. Brandt. He gave his whole life. Just listen to the correlation. He gave his whole life for leprosy. En ek het dit nie geweet nie tot ek het nou gelees het. Een van die gevolge van melaatsheid is dat jy jou gevoel verloor. You can't feel. So you don't know what pain is. Die dokter skryf, hy sê, I thank God for pain. I can't think of a better gift for my patients, the lepers, as pain. Because most of them at the end die. For not being able to feel pain and doing things which they shouldn't do if they have felt pain. What is consumerism doing to us in this world? What is all the material things and all the experiences, what are they giving through that to you and me? What are they trying to do with us? They amuse us with that. What does amusement mean? Not to think. To be distracted. That's the core of amusement. I'm going to the amusement park. Just don't think about what's really happening out there. Many, hoe baie is het in my en jou gesprek? I'm just looking forward to the weekend. What's below that? We're so excited we're going to do the weekend this and this. What's below that? Is it possible that it is an escape for us as Christians from the pain of this world, from the realities of this world? I read something. Sometimes, Christoph het vir hom sulke oorfone geskoop wat hy so bo oor sy kop so opsit. And sometimes I see him put it on and just crank up the volume. What the material world is trying to do is to get earphones on you and crank up the volume so we forget what life is really about and what the pain of this life should draw us towards, and that is towards God, not towards amusement. The pain of this life was supposed to help us to find God. So amusement and all the things, it can suppress pain, but it can never redeem you from it. Kan ek dit in Afrikaans sê? Al die goed van hierdie wêreld kan jou help om vir oomblikke te vergeet van die pyn en die swaarkry van hierdie lewe. Dit kan jou nooit van dit red nie. It can only suppress it. And ask God if this is part of your life and your lifestyle and your family. That things and experiences is just chased after to subdue the pain, that is actually the reality of this world. And the reality of pain was supposed to help us to find God and walk with Him. To find us in Him. But many times our hearts is more for the gifts of God than God Himself. And the gifts has something true in it, because is it James 1 verse 17? I missed it in my notes. Can someone just open up? So, and that is the danger with many of these postures that we find. As we take it as something of that is part of the truth in the Word, and we make it the main thing. And this is happening with gifts from God as well. James 1, 17. Ek kan nie eers vir Jakobus hier by my nie. As iemand dit het, sê by Jakobus 1, vers 17. Sê op die skerm. Thanks. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With Him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Kom ons lees dit in Afrikaans 1 vers 17. Van bo af kom net goeie, ja volmaakte gawes. Hulle kom van die Vader wat die hemelligte geskep het. Anders as die hemelligte staan hy onbeweeglik vas. Selfs sy skaduwee verskuif nie soos hulle sin nie. And then this truth becomes the main thing. The gifts from God. And He wants to supply in our needs. But the way we can relate to it is that it is only distraction and not deliverance. So pyn en swaar kry is ons veronderstel om ons nader aan God te bring. We are not supposed to suppress it. Maar ietsie wat ek sien wat ook in my lewe gebeur, toe ek nou voorberei vir vanoggend, toe word ek herinner aan 'n gesprek wat ek het. Ek en Marina was saam in die gesprek met iemand. En ek vra vir die persoon, ek sê, in these tough times, I asked him, what do you hear God is saying to you? The answer relates to what I'm trying to help us to see here. His answer is, I just have to get through the day. Listen to a sermon tonight that I can do tomorrow again. Using God to suppress the pain and the frustration of the day so that I can survive another day. God did not come that we might survive, but that we might be free, joyful, powerful in the pain of this world, because we have Him. Not use Him to survive. So we can have even worship experiences. Ons kan in by lofprysing en aanbiddings geleenthede kom, and we use it as a drug. Just to forget what's happening outside of there. And some of it is true. But if that becomes the main thing why you turn up, the worship music, if things are not going well, and not to meet God Himself, you are using worship music the same way that the world uses material things. Am I missing a Dwayne? Of can we see that we can relate to God in a Christian way, but we are just there to have a life from Him, not with Him? I'm opening up the Word just to find an answer and to appease my fears and my struggles for tomorrow, so that I can carry on and get up in the morning. It's not what God meant. He wanted us to meet with Him. He wanted us, if we put on the worship when Yoalet is leading us, that we meet with God, that we are with God. Our feelings of the Holy Spirit and experiences of the Holy Spirit, how wonderful that might be. We might start to use it as a drug. All the programs in the church, all the teaching opportunities, even the cell group, just become something to take me out of this world's pain. And I come there and, whew, at least it's better here. And many of the things that we do in church, and we maybe it's not, it can be like this. It's actually to make us more comfortable on the journey. It does the same thing than material things does, to make us more comfortable and makes us happy. I'm just hate the word happy. No, I don't hate it. I just don't like it. I like the word joy. Because joy is from God. Happiness is just this world. It comes and go. But joy is where God comes. And you won't, and I won't, and I struggle with it. I won't have joy if I'm not with God. The things and the ministries of God and the work of God does not give you joy. It's God Himself that gives you joy. Baie van die hedendaagse Christenskap is ontwerp om te kan oorleef, aan te gaan, and just to get along. To be more comfortable on our journey, to entertain us, whether it's music or gatherings. That's also just distraction, not deliverance. 'N lewe van God verdoof en gee afleiding, maar het kan nie verwyder nie. Pyn en swaar kry moet ons nie vermy nie. Ons moet dit nie verdoof nie. Materialisme laat nie die goddelike doel van pyn en lyding toe in ons lewe nie. Dit bring ons nie nader aan God nie. Nee, soos ek net gesê het, dit sit nie die oorfone op en draai die musiek harder. 'N lewe van God sny ons af van pyn en die reddende doel daarvan. God is allowing pain in this world. Every time in scripture you open up the word and you see pain, what's the main message in it? Come to me. May it open your eyes and bring you to me, because I want to be with you. That's God's heart for pain. Let's just end. And we have seen how we can twist his gifts, even community with him, how we can twist it and make it our ultimate desires. Our ultimate desires should be that intimacy with Jesus. Jesus himself, not the things around it. Kom ons gaan na die verlore seun toe. Al baie verlore seun gelees, maar om die verlore seun in hierdie perspektief te sien. My kinders, as hulle het in 'n TV-storie gespeel, as hulle hom 'n jerk genoem het. Hy's 'n jerk. Wat is Afrikaans daarvoor? Hy's nou 'n skobbejak of 'n, wat 'n mooi woord kan ons kry vir dit? Hy's 'n moegu. Hy's 'n moegu. Wat doen hierdie man? Sy pa lewe nog, dan eis hy die helfte van sy pa se goed op. Then he gets it. And he goes. What's happening next? He wastes it. He spends it. Do you think he has learned anything? Sy tweede plan is nog erger as sy eerste plan. Laat ek by hom gaan werk. Selfs my pa se slawe is beter af as ek. He's still thinking about himself. Still thinking about what he can get from his father. He doesn't want to be with his father. He's just using his father for his own needs. Lord, help us to see if that and where it is true in me in your life. Let us not just by outright say, that's not me. I promise you, if we allow the Spirit, he will show us, that's me. It's me doing the same thing to our Father. But I want to end with this hope, and it just helped me. Maybe just one last thing before I end with it. I was in a few meetings from the beginning of the year. The current situation of our youth is desperate in schools. Desperate. And when I read through these material and prepared for today, there was one thing that I saw that can be the answer for this. The reason is that we put more focus on material things than on relationships. It's a direct cause for depression. If we have more focus on material things than relationship, depression will be the end of it. Our youth is struggling with this. because this is what social media, friends, and even us as parents is leading them into. So let us not, even as community and fellow brothers and sisters, not sit in relationships and think, what do I get from this relationship? And if I don't get it, I'm not continuing with it. Let us ask God how we can give. How we can give. That is the life Paul has called us to. Kom ons eindig met die verlore seun. I'm not going to read it. You can read it at home. Maybe just write down the scriptures. I see some of you are making notes. Matthew 10:37. Jesus het herhaalde kere vir ons gesê dat niks is belangriker as verhouding met hom. Herhaalde kere. Hy het gesê, if you don't count your father and your mother less important than me, even your children less important than me, Ryan, that's challenging. So ouliks as Nicholas en Andreas is, gelukkig was nie van Ryan, Andreas is gebore last week, week before. He says, if I am not more important than your children. Now I sometimes hear the statement, I don't want to go out to serve for the kingdom. I don't want to spend more time with my children. There's a place for that. But listen to Matthew 10:37. God says, if I am not more important. Matthew 6:19-24, riches. Jesus over and over warned us against riches. Luke 9:58, comfort. Jesus over and over. And I'm challenged because I'm trying to get my home comfortable. I'm trying to get my family comfortable. It's part of my daily living. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. You are suppressing them pain. They won't come to me because you are busy with a materialistic world. Matthew 6:1-4, Jesus said, do not put any value on reputation. Geen waarde op reputasie nie. I want to end off with the father of the prodigal son. Hierdie pa, hy het die helfte gevat, toe kom hy terug onder die voorwendsel dat hy eintlik by sy pa wil wees, maar eintlik is dit maar net om nie in die varkhok te wees. That's the only reason he came back. Wat doen hierdie pa? And I want to encourage us today, if we are struggling with these things, this is the father we serve. I think we've prayed it there this morning when we were together. That father, he was halfway trying to sell his lie to his father. Just stopped him dead. And he gave him a robe. And he had a festival. And he invited him in. He says, come to me. I know you're here for yourself. But come to me. I want you. That's the father we serve. He's not looking at the son coming back. Sure, you're a liar. He knows it. Our Heavenly Father knows it. I think at the end, if we are honest, don't know about you. That day, I turned to Christ and I bowed my knee. It was because of me. I was so deep in trouble. It was also selfish. And did God turn me away because I was selfish in it? He says, come in. Come to me with everything that you are struggling with. Come to me. I want to change you. I want to help you. And I pray that God will free us from this materialistic world. In our congregation, if I'm just honest, I think most of us are struggling with this. Most of us relate to God in some way. Even our spiritual journey has much of this in. And God wants to free us of that. It's not serving us well. It's not serving our children well. God wants to free us from that. That we want Him, whether He's blessing us or whether we are ending up with nothing. That's the Paul as an example that we can follow. I'm going to ask Miolet to come forward. Now, I want to invite you, maybe you are led, you can just sit down. I was just this morning again, before we take communion, I just want to invite you, you will come and help yourself, we don't send it through. I was just reminded of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, where he was writing to the congregation. En hy sê, laat ons op 'n waardige manier deelneem aan dit. En een van die goed wat ek net vanoggend weer vir ons aan wil herinner, is that I am with Christ in his death at the cross, taking part of communion. Can I say it again? When I'm taking communion, wanneer ek nagmaal gebruik, ek is met Christus in sy dood by die kruis. Bedoelend, I'm dying to self, bringing my sin to the cross, depending on him, and ask him to wash me clean. This is some of the attitude that we are coming. Dis van die houding wat ons kom as ons voor Jesus kom. Ek is een met Christus. Ek is een met my broers en susters. Ag, en mag ons miskien net goeie tyd neem, ons gaan die nagmaal kom haal, ons gaan sit, and allow God just to speak to you if anything of today wants to speak, and let us come with that freedom to the cross and be with Jesus in his death. Die gospel roep ons to life, but it is through dying in self. No life comes before dying in self happens. And it's once, and then it's a continuous journey until we leave this earth. We're never done with it. And it's not condemning to die, it's freeing to die. There's only one victory that is worthwhile, and that is conquering self by the help of Christ. Without Christ, no way you will conquer self. Only then we are free, when we conquered self. Before that, there's no freedom. We may have tastes of it. En mag ons die prentjie sien as ek kom. Ek sien so partykeer ons sukkel om met gebrokenheid te handel. And the reason we are struggling with it is we don't know who the Father is. This picture of the Father allowing the younger son to come back, that's the Father we serve. The one that knows you've taken everything. You are here with a long story just to come back. He knows that. And he welcomes him in. Just come. Come. That's the Father we serve. And because he is like that, we can deal with any brokenness and sin we are struggling with. We can bring it to him. Come and if you feel like having communion this morning, please help yourself. So ons spandeer net bietjie tyd op ons eie, en jy kan op jou eie tyd nagmaal gebruik. So miskien kan die res van die worship span ook vorentoe kom. Ek wil graag hê ons moet afsluit met daai look to you. En miskien voor ons dit doen, miskien daai speeltjie of die selfoon uitkry. As jy die moed het om in hom te kyk, in die speeltjie of in die selfoon kyk. And just to have a conversation with God and say, Lord, I want you on the other side, not myself. I want to be transformed to be more Christ-like. Here, help my om te sien waar ek in na my beeld vorm. Terwyl ons met die nagmaal besig is, kom die gedagte by my op. Hoeveel van dit wat in my lewe gebeur het, this is, maybe it's a difficult question, but maybe it's worth for us to just stand still at it in the coming week. En die vraag kom by my op, wat van dit wat gebeur het en die uitvloeisels van my verhouding met God oor die laaste 18 jaar was tot my nadeel. Obviously there's a twitch to the question. Want as het alles gaan oor wat tot my voordeel was, I might be missing the real gospel. So in what way did things happen, concrete things happen, that was to my disadvantage, or my me and my family's disadvantage. I can really today say, by the grace of God, this and this happened, and this cost me and my family this and this and this. But I just love it, because it's better to give than to receive. It was really not good for us. Not in a worldly way. It wasn't good. En partykeer, net omdat het 'n stukkie geestelikheid aan het het, is my brokenness was repaired. Obviously, it's much more wonderful to live with a Christoph that is not so broken. And obviously, God wants to do that. But if that's all, isn't that a self-serving gospel? If that is the only part of the gospel that you've been invited to? And I want to invite you this morning to more. Wil jou uitnooi na meer. Die gospel is baie meer as dit. It's that too. I don't want to discredit that. I just want to say, if it's only that, sure, my kinders het nogal die Here se genade, hulle is maar oulik. Hulle het dan goeie waardes, en hulle gee nogal om vir hulle medemens. Isn't that still a lot of it is just for me and for us? Maar wat noem ek en jy vir oggend wat ons sê, "Shock, we had to make that choice, we did that. And we lost all the way." There's no advantage in that for us. We just lost. But I knew it was God. He called me to it. I obeyed him with joy by his grace. That was tougher, brought much pain to our lives. And if you're searching for something like that, look at the life of Paul. Most of the things that Paul is writing about is not a gospel that did something for him. In the beginning, yes, he was justified before God, and he wrote a lot about that. But after that, he laid down his life. And he paid a price daily. I pray this morning, Lord, that you will speak to us. That we will know it's you calling us. Not a question asked in church. Not condemnation from the enemy, myself or my friends. But it is you that is calling us to specific things where we lay down our lives, Lord. There's nothing in it for us, but we give because you gave much more. We are able to do that because your Spirit works in us. We want to serve you in a way like that, Lord. We want to leave our homes many times a week, not for us and our family, but for your kingdom. Come, Lord, and open our eyes. Thank you that we are welcome in your presence and in your home with our selfish desires. But I pray, Father, that you will take us past that. In Jesus' name I pray.